Let's start out by going through the individual habits that we listed. Jonas wanted to be first, so we'll start with him. First one, okay.
My self thing was loving self, and for the guilty, it's obviously just loving yourself rather than loving others the way God would. God would love others before he'd love himself.
Well, I won't let you define the word loving self by using the word love.
Well, how else would you define it?
That's your assignment.
That's when you guys finished 5 minutes ahead.
How do you love?
Charity. I don't know. I guess if I was going to use an example, love could be actually just like giving someone a gift, simply just out of love. You know, I know I used the word love again, but I mean, it's what it is.
Okay.
And then for not guilty, it's pretty much the same thing, just opposite. Loving on others rather than yourself, which is basically the example I just used of giving a gift.
Well, give me specific. Something specific. Two of you are fighting for the same chair. What are you going to do?
Let him have it.
Oh, okay. Very good. Okay, next one. Next one. Who's next? Come right up. Let's not waste time. Be standing right there ready to go.
All right, well, my first one is the love of money. And, all right, there was no verse to this. Yeah, well, I use, a good, bad example was, I used to steal money. Like, I used to take it from people, you know, like, steal purses or something like that, you know. I know, it's shocking. I found out that was wrong, and so I gave back, only I've paid double back for what I stole. And then my other one is holding to a form of godliness although denied its power. So I did a mortal upright person, but doesn't see his need for a savior. The other one was he has a standard he lives by.
Great. Okay. Next one. Who's next?
Okay. I had arrogant and proud. And one of the things I thought of was like an athlete winning a gold medal or something. And instead of just like rejoicing and celebrating and all about me, as a bad example, the good example would be just humbly accepting it, but ultimately giving glory to God.
Okay, can you give me something personal? How would you personally do it right? Don't worry about doing it wrong. How would you personally do it right?
Well, I play basketball, so say our team won a game, and I just started, you know, rubbing in the faces of my opponent and getting all up in their face and be like, yeah, we won, that kind of thing. But rather just going and just congratulating them on what a good job they did instead of what I did.
Okay, very good. Next. Who's that next one? Next one. Who had... revilers, blasphemers?
I couldn't think of anything.
Okay, now, well, you talked it over, so your group is going to help you. Who else is in your group? What group are you in?
I was with
what number?
Esther, Abby, and number two.
Number two. Okay, so somebody from group number two, when you talked this over and you asked them for help, they helped you. How did they help you?
I didn't ask for help. They were kind of working on their own.
Okay. Reviler. Reviler is somebody who makes fun of God, like Dawkins, or once the famous atheist in school. Out and out speaking against God. That would be a reviler. Or a wider word, which in the Bible, blaspheme usually used speaking against God, but speaking against other people. You find some fault with other people. Well, if you can show them, other people, how bad they are, you know, she does this and she doesn't do that, that would be blaspheming or reviling. Instead of talking, boy, she's got a very beautiful voice, or look at those nice shoes she's wearing, or, boy, I'm so glad that she got a good grade in math. Okay, next one. Disobedient to parents.
Okay, I had disobedience to parents, and one thing I thought of was always back-talking and stuff. If you're back-talking to your parents, you're not obeying them, even if you like obey them, but you have a bad attitude about it, it's not really truly fully obeying them. It's just doing what they said to do. And then for not guilty, I have obeying right away instead of like complaining, back-talking. You're immediately, as they say, oh, go clean your room. So you go immediately without complaining, just go up and clean your room. And also helping out, and like say you've got younger brothers or sisters that need help that tie their shoes or something, just that you can just help out with that.
Excellent. Okay, go on. Ungrateful, unthankful.
Ungrateful, unthankful would be like getting a gift and not being thankful for it, not being happy about it. And thankful would be, you know, being thankful for what you get.
How would you be thankful? Suppose Grandma sent you a check for $7.
Go over and tell them thanks, give them a hug.
Okay. Or if you weren't that close to the person, at least you could
send them a letter.
Okay. By the way, that's not illegal. I have sent more wedding gifts, and I wonder, did people even get them? Okay, next one. Unholy. Don't forget to send thank you notes. I know you can. If you've got to send out an email, if they can do it, fine. But be sure that they get thanked. If you want to do it in person, that's super excellent. But be sure that people know that you appreciate, even if it doesn't fit. If it's something you wear, it doesn't fit. Thank you for the thought. Grandma, do you think that maybe I could change this for a different size? Okay?
I did unholy. I did taking the name of the Lord in vain. You know, sinning, not following what the word of God says. And then good, whatever they did to please God and not themselves. You know, not doing it for themselves, being they were trying to be holy, I guess, but I don't really think that'd be a good thing, trying to be holy for yourself, but for God.
Okay, very good. How about pornography? It doesn't bother the girls, but how about these romantic novels that get you all emotionally up? These are things that will separate between holiness and unholiness. Okay? Again, you know, nobody knows what you're doing in your private life, but God does, and we want to be. What you do in your private life will eventually show out. It may not show out directly, but it will change your character. And it's not going to happen overnight. It happens over a while. And I hear stories of how easy it is to get involved with stuff on the internet. Even innocently, you're trying to find something. All of a sudden, because there are wicked people out there that are trying to trip us up. Keep in mind, we are in a war, and Satan wants to destroy your testimony, so he will do anything he can. Okay?
Okay, I had unloving, and I said selfish of your time and resources and not wanting to help, just plain mean. And then the good would be the opposite, and not caring for yourself, but caring for others' needs before your own.
Give me an example, specific example.
Well, say you're reading a book and your sibling's like says, will you help me with this? Or just you decide to not be selfish of your time and instead do what they want you to do. And
would you do that even for a sibling that's younger?
Well, you should.
What about one that's older?
The same, you should.
Okay, now you know all the right answers. Okay, the next one is unloving without natural affection.
That's the one I just did.
Pardon?
That's the one I
just did. Oh, okay. Irreconcilable. Some of those are 50-cent words, or maybe I should say dollar and a quarter words with inflation.
I have irreconcilable truce breakers, just like how, like, you say, I will do this, like, I will clean the house, and then you break it, you don't clean the house.
Okay. How about if somebody does something mean to you?
You should forgive them in the heart, and then if they come to you, you should forgive them audibly.
What if they don't come to you?
You should still try to make friends.
Okay. I like the way you worded it, you should try, because it tells me in Romans there are some people you just can't. But at least we should make an effort to try. Okay. Very good. Okay. Malicious gossips or false accusers. By the way, the reason I have two words on some of these, I've taken it out of two translations. And you may have a different translation that I've got here, but I can hold it for that.
Oh, that's fine. Okay, I got malicious gossips or false accusers, and my good example was, I mean, bad example. Like, somebody could, like try to get somebody in trouble by saying they did something that they really didn't do. And then the good example could be like somebody, like a friend of theirs, like they could hear the false accusation and they could like not believe it, and they could go to the person and ask them, did you really do this? And then like go like make it right with everybody and stuff like that.
Is that easy?
Sometimes it is, but...
But sometimes it's mighty hard.
Yeah.
But you hit it right on the button there. But sometimes people do, they make these false accusations, and you want to be sure. You said go to the person that they're accusing. You know, any time you say something against somebody, you should be willing to say that to their face. I mean, there are times when people do things that are wrong, and we should confront them. But if you say anything against anybody, you should be willing to say that right to their face. I tell you what, it will eventually get back to them, because nobody can keep a secret. Nobody. Nobody can keep a secret. Okay? Okay, who's next? Without self-control.
Okay. I have without self-control. And so... the bad example, or the being guilty of that, would be going crazy and not knowing when to stop. And then the not guilty would be watching your actions and the things you do. So I know, like, one time I was trying to take a picture of, like, this bat, and my brother, like, scared me really bad. And I got really mad at him, and then, like, later I was like, Alicia, that wasn't very nice, you know, talking to myself. And so I went back, and I had to apologize to him. And so that wasn't having self-control over my actions towards my little brother. And then so... having self-control over your actions, a good example of that would just being, like...
Being what?
Would be, like, having self-control, like, towards other people and then your actions and the things you do and, you know, not blowing up in people and stuff.
Okay. Very good. Now, you're probably, some of you in the audience are saying, wait, there's a lot more to that, which there's absolutely, but at least we've got some concrete thing that we're, okay, brutal, fierce. I don't think you could possibly be brutal or fierce.
Okay, so I put down for guilty is like a little kid was in a playground and like a bully came over there and just like pushed him off like a swing or something.
And then for not guilty, it was just like a nice and loving person.
Give me some example of a nice, loving person.
Well, I couldn't think of one, so I just asked DJ.
Let's go back to your swing illustration. How could you? You're in a playground, and there's a little child sitting on the swing there, and the swing isn't moving.
You would just go over there and push the little kid on the swing.
Would you?
Yeah.
Would you ask him if they wanted to be pushed?
Yeah, I would ask him first, and then if he said yes, I would do it.
Okay. Very good. See, you guys know the answer. It's just that I'm trying to get you to verbalize some of these things that you know, because that's very important. Okay, what's the next one? Haters of good?
Once upon a time, there was a man who saw someone cleaning the dining hall here at camp. And he got very mad at that person because he wanted to clean the dining hall at camp. And so that was a very bad example of haters of good. However, there was another man. This was actually a girl. She went up to him and she said, "Thank you for your wonderful service of cleaning the dining hall at camp." And that was a good example.
Great. I'm glad you guys laughed because you realize the reality of it and you probably relate to it. But this is what I would like you to do in all these, rather than some abstract thing, something that you have had a personal experience with. Because his little story, incidentally, stories are phenomenal ways of teaching. His little story will start reminding you of something. Maybe it's unrelated, but it'll help remind you. Okay, who's next? Treacherous? Traitors? Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Got treacherous. Okay, so for the guilty, I put abandoning friends.
For say that again?
Abandoning friends.
Abandoning friends, okay.
Or not guilty, but standing by your friend through something hard.
Now, give me an example of standing by a friend through something hard.
Okay. No, I don't know.
How old are you?
16.
Okay, so one of your friends just got his license and got arrested, and his license was taken away. What are you going to do?
I'm going to comfort him.
Anything else? The guy's got a car. He's got a license. He's got a job. How is he going to get to work?
Drive him to work.
Would you?
Yeah.
Okay. You see, that some of these things are hard to do, aren't they? Okay, who's next? Have you got reckless?
Yes. Okay. Okay, so for reckless, I have taking unneeded or unwanted actions that can hurt yourselves or others. So for like an example, it's like, say you're like driving on the road and you know you're not obeying the speed limit. Yeah, that's what it's called. And I guess you could, you know, hit another car and yeah. And then for not guilty, I have, you know, being cautious and, you know, watching what you're doing and how you're doing.
You know what
it.
I'm gonna say now. Give me an example. Something specific. You talk this over with your friends. They'll help you.
What about like the dining hall? Did you? Well, what I thought was you said, was it you that said about courage, not taking unneeded risks, like someone daring someone to jump off the dining hall?
Oh.
Like, you know, by not doing that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. Okay, who's got the next one? That was conceited or high-minded?
All right, I had conceited or high-minded, and I had thought of that, like, if you're, like, conceited, I think of arrogant, or if you have a high opinion of yourself, you're like, oh, yeah, I'm so good and everything. And if you're not conceited, then you're if it's someone who thinks of someone as better than themselves, or in essence, if you have humility, is pretty much the opposite of conceitedness.
Okay, tell me somebody that can do something better than you. Somebody you know that the rest in the room know.
Well, you can teach better than I can.
Okay, let's go on. Who's next one? Lovers of Pleasure. Who had that? Lovers of Pleasure. I think you had two of them. What is was that your second one?
I passed one of them to Jeremy.
Okay.
Yeah, I was late. I was helping out in the kitchen. Do you want me to go ahead and do that one?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were doing that one.
No, I'm doing 313.
Okay. So I'm doing that one and 312?
Don't worry about it. That's okay. Just come and do it.
Just go ahead.
Okay. So the question is, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. I know as teenagers, it's easier to play video games than to read your Bible. But a lover of God would be to read your Bible maybe before and after you play video games.
Or,
okay. Yeah.
You got a specific example. I can't catch you for that one. Good. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. But it's not just reading your Bible. It would be helping somebody instead of helping yourself, wouldn't it? Okay. going to the football game instead of going to meeting? Or helping somebody instead of... Okay. Holding a form of godliness.
He did that one with his first one.
Oh, okay. Is that all then? Okay, let's go on then to the groups here. Who's going to answer for group number one? Okay. And again, read the verse that you're going to be talking on. It's 6, 7, 8, 9.
Okay. For this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so did these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was.
For the sake of the recording, can you say where you're reading?
That's 2 Timothy 3:6-9. Okay, so our question was about, had the example of King David and Bathsheba and how sins have consequences. And so we had some passages to read, and we just wrote down what the consequences were of those sins. And with David and Bathsheba, the consequence was that the baby died. And another one we had was Absalom. He murdered this other guy, and then as a result of that, he fled, and he was basically an outcast. There were lots of and that was what we had, those okay. examples. And the other, we didn't get time to do the other one.
Okay, very good. By the way, you can't do it when you're talking. But if somebody's laughing at you and you don't want to laugh back, you try and twisting your tongue inside your mouth. Twist it upside down. Usually it'll stop you from laughing. Okay. Usually. Okay. Who's got 3:10 at group two?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I just let you hold it. Okay. Sure. I'm reading from 2 Timothy 3:10-11. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, and perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which have happened to me at Antioch and Iconium in Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. So for the first son, why might have the apostles have made such a long list of events? Do not describing them, but just stating their type for Timothy. And we came up with what warning this might happen, like all the persecution, but the Lord delivered him because he delivered Paul out of the jail. And then you said, let's try this. What can you remember about the weather on July 4th, 2012? And I didn't know, so. What can you recall? Can you recall a neighbor who did something kind for you? And I said, no, I didn't remember anything. So, okay. When Paul wrote Persecutions, Timothy might have thought of when Paul and Silas were in prison in Philippi. What thoughts might have gone through Timothy's mind? His walk for weeks, he is in a strange country, and now his leader is in prison. I wonder if he slept that night. Then the earthquake. What might Timothy, we too, have learned about God through this? Well, that God wants Timothy to rely on him instead of anyone else, and to show his power and to show how powerful he is. And think of things in your own life where help seemed to came out of nowhere. If you are an unbeliever, it is easy to say it just happened. But when you start keeping track of these events, you will observe there are too many for it to be just chance. Why is Paul list so long? And we came up with a string of events planned by God for his purpose.
Okay.
And that's what we have.
Does anybody else in the room remember something that happened July 4th last year? Okay.
Fireworks.
Okay. What does that remind you of? What were you doing? Where were you when the fireworks?
I know where I was.
Huh? Okay.
I was at home. Well, you wrote 1012.
Last year.
Instead of 2012.
You wrote 1012 instead of 2000.
I did? Yes.
Sorry. Okay, no wonder you didn't get it. Okay.
Okay, I was at home in my front yard watching some neighbors down the road blow fireworks. And it was nice weather.
Tell me one more thing.
That I was with my family.
Okay. The point being is that as Paul gave this whole list to Timothy, he would not only remember the specific events, but he'd start to, for instance, what was the last thing you said?
That was with my family.
Right. So you see that when you can remember just one thing, it'll open up a hole. And that's one of the reasons why Paul gave this whole list. Timothy'd start, oh, yeah, but that reminds me of how Paul was preaching the gospel, or how they started fighting with them, or the weather. You remember you mentioned that? And that's the point I'm looking at. When you read a list in the Bible, you and I weren't there, but sometimes we start thinking about these things, and they remind us of other things. Okay, who's next? Where are we? Did we do? Which one are we on?
No, I got it.
Okay. Okay. Yes.
Okay.
What verse are there? State what verses you're going to read.
I'm going to read 1 Timothy 3:12.
1 Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:12.
I meant 2 Timothy 3:12.
Well, I make bigger mistakes than you do.
Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. The question is, persecution is in the USA are not too life-threatening now, but you may have heard about someone going to the park and finding out they don't want to include this religious frantic, or they may laugh at you when you tell them you spent a whole week at Bible camp. Tell of an incident or of persecution you or someone you know have faced. I know I used to play public school sports, and I would oftentimes tell the guys, you know, watch the language, you know, you don't need to be saying that kind of stuff. And they would oftentimes laugh at me and shun me and disinclude me from a lot of things. So it was a type of persecution, I guess you can say.
Absolutely. Okay. So are you going to keep talking about the Lord and using vile language? Are you going to tell people not to use foul language?
Yeah.
Okay. So just because you were laughed at, you're still going to continue doing it. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Next one. We've got the verse. What's we on next? 3:12. Okay.
2 Timothy 3:13 says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." And the question for that one is, What do the last two words of this verse tell you about religious people who pretend to be what they are not? The last two words says being deceived. And so someone who is acting like a religious person that's not is obviously deceiving you and believing something that's not true. And I actually have a dictionary here, and I looked it up. And it says,
great,
to be false to someone, to be unfaithful, to cause to accept as true or valid what is false or invalid, and to while away. So basically just being deceived by somebody who is not.
But the point being that when people are trying to deceive you, they end up being
deceived
from
themselves.
Okay, it comes back. Okay, great. Who's next? Okay.
All right. 2 Timothy 3:14-15 says, but continue thou in the things that thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that thou from a child hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. The question talks about the need to know the Bible, and any comments that we've heard about people that say not to believe in that 2,000-year-old book. And some reasons that we'd kind of heard is like because it's really old or it's full of errors, or that they only believe in science is some of the excuses that we've heard before. And then so the next question is, what plans do we have for knowing the Word of God better next year? We thought about reading through the Bible, but then also studying specific chapters and meditating on it throughout the day.
Okay, very good. This is not critical of anybody, but could I see the hands of those that intend to read through the whole Bible in the next 12 months? Great, that's encouraging. I've been doing it since 1978, but if you know how old I am, you know I didn't start when I was your age. But you will never regret reading through the Word of God. I think I told you the other day the first few words of 1 Chronicles are actually the gospel message.
Attention campers. Lunch will begin in about 5 minutes, so please be making your way to the lobby.
We gotta go on here.
Lunch will begin in about 5 minutes, so please be making
who's got the last one?
Thank you.
Do you guys want me to, or you still want to keep it split up, or just... Are you sure? Okay. Okay, we did verse 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 is... All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And so the first question was, do you believe, this is probably the most famous verse in 2 Timothy, why do you believe the Bible? You cannot stand on someone else's faith. So I have written down, like, this verse says the Bible's true, obviously. It says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. But you eventually, it's faith. You have to take it on faith that this is the Word of God. Because if you don't have faith, then obviously you're not going to believe that this is the Word of God.
I would like something more concrete than that. Anybody in the audience can add something. Why do we believe that the Word of God is the Word of God? Quick, we haven't got time.
Well, because of prophecies that Jesus...
Excellent. In Isaiah, it says that that's one of the reasons why God prophesies some things. Because only he can do it. Yeah, you go to the grocery store in November and December, and they say, last year, this prophet was 50% accurate. Well, according to Deuteronomy, that means they're stoned to death unless they're 100%. But God prophesies hundreds of years in the future.
Because it never contradicts itself.
It never contradicts itself. Written by 40 different people. If I took and asked you guys to describe what happened a week ago today, you probably would be contradicting something. But, okay, excellent. Okay.
And then it says 3:16 continued. It says, we must be able to verbalize this clearly. It doesn't necessarily mean that we will be able to convince the person we are speaking to, but for our own comfort, safety, and peace, each one of us must be able to put in words that we understand as to why we are placing our eternal destiny on what is written in the Bible. Briefly explain the reasons for why God's word is profitable for teaching and doctrine. And I've written down, because that's how God speaks to us, and it's through his word, and, like, that's how
like we get our doctrine from the Bible. That's where it comes from. And he teaches us through it because that's how he speaks to us in this right now, is through his word. And then the next one is for reproof. And we couldn't really decipher the difference between reproof and correction. If I had a dictionary, I would have looked it up, but I didn't have a dictionary on my phone.
Okay.
So we didn't have anything on reproof, but we did have for correction. Because if you're reading the Bible and say you have a false idea about something and you read about how that's random example, you think, oh, well, Jesus didn't rise from the grave. Just for some reason, you don't believe that. And then you read in the Bible how he did rise again. And so you see that it's true that he did. So it corrects you.
Okay.
And then for training in righteousness, I have see the other ones, because to train, you need to be corrected and you need to be taught. And so through the teaching and correction, you are training in righteousness.
Okay.
And then the last one, it says, for verse 17, it says, why does this teach us as to why God has given us his word? Use only your own words. It says, verse 17, I'll read it. It says, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So in our own words, we decided it's so that we can be more like Christ, because obviously Jesus is thoroughly furnished unto all good works. He's right. Perfect.
Okay. I'm going to admonish you.
Your attention, please. Your attention, please. Classes are over, so it's time for lunch.
I'm going to admonish you. Don't use the word tomorrow.
Okay.
All of you. That's admonishment. Don't use the word ah. You ask the difference between admonishment and correction.
Oh, okay.
Don't use the word tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
Thank you. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our God, our Father, we thank you that your word is so practical. We ask for guidance now that we might enjoy it. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. By the way, how many in the room here could add something to the lesson today if we had 2 more hours?
What? What was that?
If we had 2 more hours in class, how many could add something? Okay, the point is, you always learn something that you can't share.